Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Sounds Good Radio. I'm your host, Shriver.
And it's Big Nate.
Thank you for coming back and hanging out with us, you guys. We are so excited to be here talking to y'all for another week into season two, and it is September. One of the best months, in my opinion, if I do say so myself. Not only is it the start of fall, it is my birthday month, so so we're happy about that. It's crazy. We started this podcast on your birthday month, and now we've made it all the way to my birthday month. Big air signs. So, yeah, happy September, you guys. I guess everybody's back in school, back in the swing of things, and I'm excited for the season change, for sure. I've been loving these crisp, cool mornings in the fall. And we are filming this on September 7th, and that means it is a full corn moon tonight, as well as a total lunar eclipse. Now, unfortunately, the United States, it will not be visible to us, which is sad, but that's okay. We just had one, in March, we just had one. But if you are in the Southern Hemisphere, in Australia, New Zealand, that kind of area, I think you will be able to see it in totality, which we have some listeners down there, apparently. So you guys, use your eyes for us. Yes, please tag us.
Can we see?
So September's full moon, nicknamed the corn moon, as it aligns with the season for harvesting corn, according to the old farmer's almanac, will peak around the same time as the lunar eclipse. But full moons appear around to the naked eye one day before and after their peak. So even if you don't see it tonight, like you can still see the full moon from where you're at in North America. You just won't see the eclipse. And yeah, so you should be able to see what looks like to the naked eye a full moon all the way until Monday. So a little information about a total lunar eclipse. The moon turns red once it is completely blocked by Earth's shadow, illuminated by red-orange light from the sunsets and sunrises on Earth. Occasionally, directly before and following totality, the moon can appear to have a blue and purple band of light upon it. This phenomenon is caused by sunlight passing through the Earth's ozone layer into the upper atmosphere. Whew, I'm out of breath already.
My brain's
gone. Sorry, I'm trying to break it down. So while full moons occur every 29 days, lunar eclipses typically only happen about twice a year when the sun, moon, and Earth align. For those who may be feeling left out, the next total lunar eclipse is set to take place on March 3rd and will be visible in parts of North and South America.
All right, March.
Yes. So, and that date is actually a very special date to me. So, I'm happy about that. Mm. And then other full moons for the remainder of the year, since we're talking about moons. October 6th is the harvest moon. God bless you. November 5th is the beaver moon. And December 4th is the cold moon. So, yes, she's got the sneezes, guys. Sorry, bless you. So, yeah, we're excited for the full moon. I'm definitely going to be out looking for it tonight. Hopefully we can see it. So, yeah, look for a moon near you. What about you? What have you got going on? Anything in September shaking? Nothing?
Not that I can think of, just no. Grind mode.
Yeah, this filming.
Where I'm at. All the months that end in burr. I'm just
burr.
Just get to the money. That's where I'm at.
Honey. Yeah, it sucks you're working on my birthday weekend this year, but that's okay. We don't do anything anyway. We just hold each other.
We will be celebrating.
Yes. Okay, so today's episode, guys, we're going to do a couple segments, and we are going to start with Pass the Aux. This is a little segment we do where we talk about the music we're listening to, music we like, music we don't like. And I currently am on saxophone TikTok, which is one of my favorite places to be. But I came across a user by the username Nathaniel POV. The first video I saw of him, he was playing a saxophone kind of like in an alleyway. And this guy just walked up and sat down with a box of pizza and started listening to him play. And I guess he wears like a GoPro or something like that. So it's like his point of view playing the sax. And of course, it went super viral. And now I've been following his journey. He goes to parking garages, and he was playing like alone. And then now he's like garnered an audience. And like, I don't know if he posts events or what, but like people show up and there's like, it's just an empty floor of a parking garage, and he's just playing a saxophone.
And people just pull up and watch.
Yeah, and just watch and listen. People were roller skating in the background. I said, where's the slow dancers at? I'm trying to be in the corner nestling my neck into somebody's neck. Sorry. All right. But yeah, I think that's really cool. And like, I wish where we were from, we had more live music venues versus clubs and stuff like that with DJs. Like, I want to listen to just some soft jazz playing in the background, maybe a guitar or two. But yeah, so that is one of my little Pass the Aux suggestions if you want to check out some cool live music. What about you? You listening to anything? What's been on repeat?
Nothing.
What do you listen to when you get ready? Because you listen to music when you get ready. I don't. I sit in silence.
On shuffle. It's just whatever pops up, honestly. It can be anything, honestly. Because I think I have a pretty, like, I have a good amount of just about everything, like, type of music. I got a lot of different genres. So, really, anything can pop up. And I just kind of just vibe with it.
Yeah. Cool.
I was getting ready. Pop by NSYNC came on. I was getting ready.
Dirty Pop.
Yeah. Like, while I was getting ready. And it was like, I didn't realize that the beatbox section at the end was so long. I must have the extended version.
Right.
I was like, Jesus, Justin. Take it up.
Honey, the uncut version. Whew. Well, speaking of NSYNC, that's a nice little segue into, I want to talk about bring back, not even necessarily boy bands, but vocalists. Yes. I want vocal groups. Yes. I want to hear a 4-part, 5-part, 6-part harmony. You know, like, I love a cappella versions of songs. And one of the ones I had wrote down, which is probably, it's in my top 5. It honestly might be number 1. It is by NSYNC. And the title of the song is I Thought She Knew. It's all a cappella, straight voices. Oh, it's wonderful. Like, I love just listening to them change from one voice to the next. And Joey and Chris on the bridge of that song, it's almost undetectable whose voice comes and goes. You know what I mean? Like, and that, that stuff just gets me going.
NSYNC's the perfect five-part harmony.
Yes.
I feel like Chris held those. People think that it's Justin, but really it was Chris that was holding those high notes.
Yes. Oh, Joey and Chris, upper.
I love NSYNC. Mine would be, I don't know if this would be a five-part harmony, but of course, Gone.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Honey, I used to sit in my mama's car while she was at the barn with the horse and just play that whole record on repeat.
Oh my God, I love it. And then I feel like it's gonna it's gonna be me.
All that I do. Nah, 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 nah. Yes. So good. Okay, and I know you're a Backstreet girly too. Kind of, sort
of. Off the top of my head.
So the one I have down. Yes. Oh, and this is AJ all day, is the a cappella version of Break Your Heart. You'll know it when you hear it. You know it. It's I'll Never Break Your Heart. I'll Never Make You Cry. I'd Rather Die Living Without You. Okay, anyway, you'll know it when you hear it. I think I sent it to you on TikTok because they were singing it live on TRL.
I just love that.
And the vocals on that are very good, too. And then two other ones I have for my a cappella lovers is In the Still of the Night by Boyz II Men. Wonderful, wonderful a cappella rendition. Mm-hmm. And then If I Ever Fall in Love by, I think it's Shy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Excellent.
Yes.
I mean,
for sure.
Yeah, that's textbook.
Yes.
So that's the type of shit I like to listen to in the car. And I'd be trying to. So good. And then I had some, what else did I have? I was like, oh, another thing I miss is like key changes in songs. I feel like that is what makes R&B such like a heavy hitter classic. And I feel like we don't have that as much anymore because everybody kind of whisper sings. Give me a key change. Over the bridge into troubled waters. Somebody like, please. So some examples I had of that, obviously the GOAT MJ, Man in the Mirror. That has an excellent key change, I think. Listen, it's been a while since I took my introduction to music theory. So if I'm misspeaking on the terminology here, forgive me. But, you know. Another one is In My Bed by Drew Hill. The key change on that, very good. Cisco is that guy. Another one, I Can Love You Like That by All For One. And then this one I did send to you on TikTok. It was Whitney Houston performing live at the Navy Ball, maybe, and she was singing All the Man That I Need, and she just tore that up.
Whitney tears everything.
So yeah, that's our little Pass the Aux segment.
I said meeting in my bedroom.
Oh, was that you? Okay, I was like, did I write that?
Meeting in my bedroom.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good one. That's a good, if you just want to blare it and just sing your little heart out. Absolutely. okay, so next we are going to get into the bulk of the episode, which is talking about our favorite road trips and or drives, whether in America or abroad. We kind of wanted to talk about some of the travels that we have done. And as for me, I travel for a living. I literally live out of my suitcase. So I do a whole lot of driving, and I was like, you know what, let's do an episode where we talk about all the different drives we've been on. So we're going to kind of go one by one. I'll do one, you do one. We'll bounce back and forth, so we're not out of breath. okay.
What are we talking about? Favorite drives?
Yeah. Okay. You have your notes, or you can use my iPad if you need.
I don't. Okay.
You have them in there. Yeah. So, the first one I put down was for Neek's 30th birthday. Hey. We were in Miami, and the big surprise that we had planned for her was we were going to go down to the Florida Keys. So, we drove down there. It is about I think it was an almost 3-hour drive from Miami to the very tip of the Florida Keys. You're driving damn near on just a bridge over water for a majority of the drive. Water on either side of you, crystal clear, turquoise, bright blue waters, absolutely beautiful. And then, of course, we got down there, and the surprise was we were going on a dolphin sighting boat tour with snorkeling and with a sunset cruise. So we spent all day in the Florida Keys.
I do have videos of that.
And if you're not watching on YouTube, this would be the time to be watching. Because not only do we have a new kind of little setup in the studio, we did something a little different today. We kind of set the mood for you. But we're also going to be overlaying with all the videos that we have from our travels. And I'm telling you now, you're going to want to see them. Okay? So still listen to us. But go to YouTube. Sounds Good Radio. Check us out. Listen, I know how to do a camera now, okay? we had a great time that drive. Now, the drive back was not as fun because it was pitch black. And didn't they have, like, local deer?
Yes.
That there's a bunch of deer in Key West, which I did not know. And we had to kind of be cautious of that. And my tire pressure light came on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Okay.
The pressure.
We made it home safe, though. Yes, not before stopping at House of Mac for the second time that trip.
Oh, my God. So House of Mac is so amazing. Oh, I wish they would expand. So good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every time I'm getting to Miami, that's where I'm going to be. Just please know that. And I think there was one in Fort Lauderdale, I think, too.
Yeah. Okay, here. Now, Neek's going to go next. Are you able to see? Her contact's kind of messing up. She's looking. She's studying the note, trying to figure out what she's going to say.
I don't remember any of these.
Well, you first started off saying that you hate road trips because you hate driving.
I hate driving. I've done so much driving.
Mm-hmm.
Like, years ago, I would have been down to where I'm trying to go. I'm about to get in the car and I'm about to drive there. But lately, and I'm just not feeling it. My back hurts. My knees hurt. I don't have the patience to be driving. I just don't want to do it anymore. And I can't see. So I just don't even want to do it anymore. And I'm impatient. So I just hate it.
Right.
One of the reasons, this is when I knew. Okay, so I said that I would drive. It didn't really matter what the distance was. I had no problem actually driving or whatever. But we went on one trip, me and my mom and a couple of my friends. I don't think you went. I think you were doing something. I can't remember. But we were going on a cruise, and we were cruising out of Miami. And we ended up driving from Knoxville to Miami. We got a rental and we drove. So we went all the way up through the mountains, up and then around like South Carolina, down into Georgia, and then to Miami. It was a 13-hour drive. I drove 6 of them. I literally just got in the car and I just rode, and it was just so beautiful. Because we started off, it was dark. First of all, coming through the mountains in the dark was like, I was like, Jesus Christ. And I can't really see that good at night time. I was like, whoa, Jesus, help me, Lord. But like, as the day began to start, as we're coming through the mountains, and it was February, so we still had a little bit of something going on, and it was just so beautiful. And like, seeing the sun rise and the sky just, it was just so gag worthy. And then like, immediately, once we got out of the mountains, you knew immediately that you were in South Carolina, because I did not know this until I went there. South Carolina has palm trees.
Yeah.
And it was, the roads was like, the interstate was lined with palm trees, mm-hmm. all the way through South Carolina. And then we like dipped into a piece of Georgia, and then we were in Florida. And yeah.
Yeah.
A time. And that was sad. But God, but once we got there, I was so stiff. My knees, I was over it. I was like, I'm not doing any more road trips. If the drive is over 2 hours, I'm just going to have to fly.
Okay, the next one I have was when I was living in Denver.
Okay.
And I had a buddy of mine that I had met back home. He was a traveler as well. And then years later, I ended up in the city that he was in. And he was actually up in a little town called Steamboat Springs in the mountains of Colorado. So it's about 2.5-3 hours outside of Denver. So I think I went up there right in the beginning of September.
Is this for your birthday?
No. No, that was a different drive. I actually don't have that one down. But that was when I went up to closer to like Boulder area. Your mic's not on.
Is this the time that you went missing? And
no, okay. That was on my birthday. That was, yeah, different. This was a couple weeks before my birthday. So his name's Tony. I was going up there to meet Tony. And like I said, it's about a 3-hour drive, and I'm going to be inserting videos from that. For me, it was the first time I had ever seen landscapes like that, the kind of more like mountainous sagebrush, not a lot of trees mountains, whereas where we're from, our mountains are very forested. Yeah. So that was beautiful in and of itself. And then as you start kind of climbing the mountain, you get into the more like, I guess, the evergreen trees. Mm-hmm. I think they're pine trees. I don't know. That kind of tall tree. And the aspen trees, obviously Aspen, Colorado, they're all over the Rocky Mountains as well though. So once you get to the top and you start making the descent down into Steamboat Springs, Neek, the best way I can describe it is like witnessing heaven on earth. I mean, truthfully, the size of this valley in the mountains, and it's so green and so lush, and like your depth perception, you can't make out like how far away you are, mm-hmm. how close you are, because it's so grand. It was just breathtaking. I was like, oh, what is this place? Like, this is so beautiful. So while we were there, we did a couple different things, and just he took me around the town and stuff like that. But he was actually living in a coworker's basement apartment about 20 minutes outside of Steamboat Springs, mm-hmm. inside of the Yampa River Valley. Girl, I thought Steamboat was beautiful. We got up super early in the morning. I was staying at a hotel. He came and picked me up from the hotel, and we basically just like took the scenic route to his house. It was just like a 2-lane highway through pastures and fields. Beautiful. Just everything. It like, I literally can get choked up just thinking about it, because it was so gorgeous. And there's this one shot that I got that I'm going to put in right now. We were driving down into the Yampa River Valley, and it was, like I said, you can't tell how close you are to something and how big you are. So, like, I zoom in on the video and then I zoom out and you're like, oh, that's how far away you are. Like, it's so big and beautiful. It was just gorgeous. So, we had a great time. And then, also, I did it again in the wintertime. He had moved down to Silverthorne, which is off of, I think, I-75 in the mountains. It's before you get to Aspen. But I went up there in the wintertime in February to ride snowmobiles. So I had to drive up there before it snowed. Even though I have four-wheel drive, I was not driving on a interstate in the mountains in the snow. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. So literally within an hour of me parking my car at his apartment, it started snowing. And that was crazy to see, like, semis driving in the snow up a mountain. Like, where we're from, that everything is shut down. We don't do that. So that everything was, yeah.
Screeching halt.
But, you know, Tony, he was used to driving in that. So the next day we got out on completely snow-covered roads in his big-ass truck, and he drove me around all the same roads I had kind of been on down on the way to Steamboat Springs. But now everything's covered in ice. It was, white ice, you know, snow. All the lakes were covered. It was absolutely beautiful. I'll enter some videos from that. As well as from snowmobiling, we got to go into the backcountry. I think it was like a 2-hour tour. I was terrified. I was like, I don't know how to drive a snowmobile. What do you mean? I can't do this. So I got in the back, and I was like, so that way I'm not holding people up if I'm slow. And I was falling behind the whole time because I didn't want to go fast. I was scared. But then they took us to a big open field, put us in inner tubes, drug us with snowmobiles to the top of a hill, and let us sled down in our inner tubes. And that was so fun. Amazing. Yeah. So that's another one of mine.
I have one that's not on there.
Okay, tell me.
When we went to the Dominican Republic, you didn't come, but it was me, Mama, Stephanie, and Mac, I think. We went to the Dominican Republic. And Tom was fucking hat, first of all. But there's literally not any road laws. So, like, we had a shuttle or type situation, mm-hmm. a driver.
Yeah.
And he literally drove like a bat out of hell. Like, yes, they had like oncoming, like it was a two lane. And of course they had oncoming and incoming. Mm-hmm. But if oncoming was going too slow, they would pop over into the incoming. There could be cars coming. They're going to cut it close. Like, so we're literally just the whole way, but everything is scenic. At some point, you just have to settle into it. Like, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die careening on a motherfucking back road in the fucking Dominican Republic. So you're just taking in all the sights, all the beauty of it. Most of the DR is, the other half of it is forest. There's a big, huge forest that basically separates it from Haiti. I did not know that they were on the same island. So they're just one side. They're just the same island, and they're just split in half. And the split in half is forest. Really, really, extremely beautiful, very dense. And then I think they said it's a lot of tobacco and wacky tobacco that's being grown out there, which is why there's a huge beef between the two separate. And this is what the tour guide man said. Why not us getting the tea? As we're holding on for our life, by the way, don't forget that. But it was a great drive. And then another drive when we went on there, we were going from Punta Cana to Santo Domingo, I think is where it was, what it was called. I could be wrong because we went on some type of like party boat type of situation. Or this is when we were going snorkeling. As you can see, I'm a snorkel gal. If I can get close to a body of water, I'm going to go for a swim. So as we were just like driving into it, we went up the whole coast and they just had, the water was beautiful. They had dolphins. They had statues. Just going into the city, it was so beautiful. I pray to God I have some videos so I can show them. I'm really bad at this. When I go places, I really like to live. I'm living the moment. And I love it that I like to live in the moment because I feel like people are too much into their phone. They're not actually taking it in themselves. But I feel like as I'm on this high horse of taking the moment, I'm not actually getting some evidence so I can go back and look and reminisce. And I hate that, but I love that at the same time. So,
well, and we were saying yesterday that we want to start using disposable cameras again, yes, film cameras. I mean, while I love the convenience of a digital camera, camera on your phone, sure. There's just something about film photography that you just can't beat. Like, I love it. So, okay, next drive I have. Also, I had down, I'm Texas's biggest hater. Yes. Texas is the ugliest state to drive through. I don't care. It's ugly. But if you can make it through the death trap that is Texas, you can drive through New Mexico and Arizona, which I did when I was on my way to California. And it was the first time I had ever seen a cactus in real life. And they are so much bigger than I ever could have imagined.
Really?
Oh, they're massive. Okay. And there were so many of them. It was beautiful, though. It was the first time I saw tumbleweed. Mm-hmm. That's a real thing. That was kind of cool. And it was the first time I saw a roadrunner.
I remember.
I'm going to be honest. Y'all might think I'm dumb. I thought the roadrunner was just a cartoon.
Yeah.
I did not realize it was based on a real bird. Now, the real bird is much smaller.
Okay.
It's like the size of a pigeon.
Okay.
So I'm driving on this high, no one's around me, through the middle of New Mexico. And all of a sudden, I see this little bird just... And I'm like, was that a mirage? Am I hallucinating? And I was like, that was a bird, but it was running. It was a roadrunner. Like, I freaked out. I was like, I can't believe I got to see that.
Wile E. Coyote.
Literally, where's Wiley? So yeah, that it was really beautiful. And again, with Arizona, like your depth perception, because you're on something that's a highway or an interstate that's so flat and you have mountains in the distance. I felt like I was driving for 2 hours and never got to the mountains. But it was beautiful. Yeah. Scary, but beautiful. Also, you hit a stretch where they start having signs that say, like, get gas now. There's not another gas station for 200 miles or some shit. So that was a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
And I was having Neek track my location. I was like, okay, this is my last stop for gas. I'll let you know the next time I stop. That was another one. You have Nashville to Chicago Indy?
Yes, and that was perfect too. So we went on a road trip we're going to Chicago. Chicago is the final destination. But on the way, we were going to pick up our homegirl who lived in Indianapolis, which is like, I think, an hour and a half outside of Chicago. So I think it ended up being a two-dayer, and we drove from Nashville to Indianapolis first. And at this point in time, they were still doing, because I've gone through here since, because I've done this same road trip since then. But at this time, they were still kind of doing some like construction in like, I think it was Louisville is where we crossed over. Mm-hmm. So at this time when we went, there's this big bridge now that goes through Louisville. But at this time, it was still under construction. So it was literally like on balance beams and like one lane. So we're literally clutching. Like, I don't like bridges anyways. But coming through this, and it was literally the only way that you could get. There was no other, there was no alternate route. Mm-hmm. So we literally just had to be like in, what is it? In pendulum, I feel like, as of in a fucking, it was swaying. Oh, and just getting through bare knuckling it? Jesus Christ.
White knuckling it.
Jesus, yes. Hell. But we got through it. And then, one thing that I love, I hope I got pictures of this. We got into Indiana and we like came, it was just like flat land. It was just all green and flat. It's probably crops. I don't know what they are, but it was all flat. It was green. It was lush. And then all of a sudden it was just like, we were surrounded by windmills. So apparently this town that we were in was solely powered by windmills. So there were miles and miles and miles of windmills as far as so it's all flat. So it's kind of like how you're saying the depth perception. It's just all flat. So you just don't know when the end is coming. And there's nothing distinguishable, maybe besides a little barn over here on the side or a little mill over here. But that's it. And it was just like literally just white windmills as far as the eye can see for miles and miles and miles. It was literally, I'll never forget it. I have not seen the windmill since then. I think we might have taken a different route, or maybe because they were doing construction back there through Louisville, we were rerouted. But either way, it was gorgeous. And then I don't remember much about the Indy, from Indy to Chicago. I feel like it's a quick drive. It's just interstate. But going from Nashville to Kentucky into Indiana...
When you're driving into Chicago, does it have a pretty skyline that you can see like driving up to it, or can you just like, can you see the distance, the buildings in the distance, I guess is what I'm trying to say? You just kind of come up on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just end up in the city.
Yeah. Okay. Another, speaking of windmills, I have down here as an honorable mention, is Kansas. I had to drive through the entire state of Kansas. It takes 6 hours, if you were wanting to know. And I wasn't looking forward to it because all I could think about was tornadoes. You know, growing up, that's what you hear is, you know, tornado alley, all that stuff. But luckily, the time of year I was driving was not tornado season. It was, however, it was the middle of summer. Well, maybe it was tornado season. but Kansas is actually beautiful. Like, it was literally... 6 hours of driving through rolling hill grasslands covered in windmills, close, far away. And it was one of those, because the scenery never really changed, it almost looked like that the whole drive. The drive went by so fast.
I thought it was like a mirage.
Yes. I said, you know what, Kansas, you might be. Now, the billboards that were on the side of the road, that's another story. Those were actually pretty scary. Very red billboards. Okay. Not, anyway, fuck you. So, so the next one I have, when I was living in San Diego, I met up with a traveler buddy of mine, Chris. Shout out to my baby girl, Chris, from Denver. I met her there, and we've stayed in touch since, and we vacation together now. So she flew out, and we drove from San Diego to Joshua Tree National Park. We got us a little Airbnb there, spent a couple days. First things first, the desert. I living somewhere where it's humid, I didn't know what dry heat was. I do now. And it's awful. You feel like you're breathing sandpaper. I don't know how to explain. It's so hot, so dry, but absolutely gorgeous. It looked like you were on another planet out there. So we did a couple different drives. We drove to a... Oh, no, I didn't write the name down. That's okay. Oh, yes, I did. We drove to a place called Keys View to watch the sunset. So it was about an hour drive through like the beginning of Joshua Tree National Park. And we drove up to the top of a mountain to watch the sunset. I will insert those pictures or videos. I'm sorry. And then after we watched the sunset, she surprised me with a stargazing tour out. So we drove even further out into the desert. And it was a full, like, small group. I think there was only six of us, with our own personal astronomer. And she had three different telescopes for us to look through. She had these amazing camping chairs that were, like, the big plush ones that you kind of, like, what are they? Like, the circle-shaped ones. You know, it's like a lounger.
I got you.
I'll put a picture in.
I know what you're talking about.
She gave us each a pair of binoculars. She gave us snacks. And she gave us a full tour of the galaxy, of the Milky Way and what's above us. And that was the first time I've been able to see the true night sky without any light pollution.
Yes, that's the one.
It was amazing. We got to see the International Space Station go by, as well as hundreds of satellites. You could see the Milky Way with your bare eye. We got to look through the telescopes and see distant galaxies. I'll insert everything, I promise. It was amazing. So that was definitely notable for sure. Okay, the next one you have is Knox to NOLA, New Orleans, for the hurricane relief.
Yeah. I can't think of anything really notable of that besides, like, it being a long-ass trip.
Well, you said, so you went on a mission trip post-Katrina with your church, and you said you noted that you saw, like, a casino.
Oh, like, so this was, like, right after Katrina. So it was, like, maybe... I think maybe 3 or 4 months afterwards, because immediately after, you couldn't, there was no way to get into the city at this time. So you had to wait for the floodwaters to recede. So we had to wait a little bit. So this was maybe, maybe this was like 4 or 5 months post Katrina. And we went down and it was literally nothing. Everything was damaged. You could see the foundations, that was left. You could see the houses and the X's and all the symbols that they had for who was left behind as well. But you could see these desolated and literally, communities and homes that were completely and totally wiped away. And what was left was deteriorating, and just, you could see the carnage that was left behind from this. So from seeing all of this loss and seeing all this loss and despair, to then see that what was being rebuilt were hotels and casinos. So there were no new houses being restored. There was no constructions being done on homes or businesses. It was literally casinos. And I remember that. Vividly, and that just kind of at that point just let me know to myself what was the priority in this country, when you're literally looking at it yourself months after. And if we can go down there to do some type of good, then I feel like the government could have done so, and their first priority should have been helping these people rebuild their homes, their lives, their businesses, not find this opportunity to get land and build another casino so somebody else's pockets can be greased. And I feel like that is what happened, and a lot of people's lives were lost in the process of that.
Absolutely. Okay, the next drive that I have was also when I was in San Diego. I drove up to, I might mispronounce this, Palomar Mountain, P-A-L-O-M-A-R, Palomar. That sounds about right. I drove up there because I had a day off and I wanted to go for a drive, and I wanted to go to...
When you went to Denver?
No, this was in San Diego when I was in California. Gotcha. So Palomar Mountain is, I believe, right outside of Escondido.
I never thought of California as mountainous.
California surprised me. I had been there when I was younger, but I flew in and I actually went to San Diego, but, you know, we stayed in the hotel the whole time kind of thing. I had actually been twice. But now, like, obviously, I drove in. So, yeah, there's a whole mountain range on the eastern side of California. Yeah. The Sierra Nevada. Don't quote me.
Sierra Nevada is part of the mountains.
Yeah.
Mountain.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, very mountainous. There's mountains. There's deserts. There's coastline. And I really want to go to Northern California. I wish I had been able to work up there, but never say never. But anyway, yeah, it's... And they have less rocky mountains than they do wooded mountains. I have a hair in my eyeball. Sorry, guys. So anyway, drove up to the mountain via Highway 76. And this is important because I feel like the part that I got to that I was so amazed by, I just kind of happened upon and I wasn't expecting it to be beautiful. And I specifically want to note that it was in February because that's when the wildflowers were in bloom. Mm-hmm. So anyway... The road that I was on was Valley Center Road, and you kind of go through this huge canyon down into a valley. Mm-hmm. And there's a casino down there, speaking mm-hmm. of casinos. But you literally round this bend, and it just opens up into this huge canyon filled with wildflowers. And I wasn't expecting beautiful. It. And I started crying.
I was like,
yes, it was beautiful. I was like, I don't even want to drive any further. I just want to get out of the car and look at this. But there was nowhere to pull over on the side because you're on the side of a freaking mountain.
Yeah.
But then once I did get up to the viewpoint that I was attempting to get to, the lookout, it was beautiful up there as well. And then I was like, oh, I don't want to go home yet. So I drove somewhere from there. I just kind of winged it at that point. I just clicked on a beach and drove there. And I watched the sunset. And it was beautiful there.
Cute.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that was another little drive I did. And I think, the last one we were going to talk about was a road trip we did together in Athens, Greece.
Oh, cute. Yes.
One of my all-time favorite road trips. Yes. So it was one of our ports of call mm-hmm. on our cruise. And we drove on a huge charter bus, mm-hmm. tour bus kind of thing. From the port to Acropolis in mm-hmm. the city center of Athens. That was beautiful to get to drive through the streets of Athens mm-hmm. in the early morning hours and see all the little shops opening up. And then getting to Acropolis and watching the sunrise from up there. Mm-hmm. Stunning. Then we also, you remember the little guy in his walker? And we were like, how is he going to walk up all these steps? And you and I were both like, don't do it. Don't offer help. Don't offer help. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. We're off of work. We're off. This is our vacation. But we made sure he got to the top. They actually, thankfully, had handicap access. And he was able to take an elevator up to Acropolis. And then from there, we took the bus into the countryside and had a huge... meal, seven course meal where we all kind of sat like cafeteria style mm-hmm. and they just brought out plates of
meat,
hummus and meats and breads and vegetables everything. And it was absolutely so wonderful. The French fries, amazing.
That fucking pork that they had, the chicken. Yeah. It was literally farm to table.
Yes.
Like, so on the way in, we were like, oh, look at all the crops. Oh, look at the pigs and the chicken. And then we pull into the thing and there's literally...
It's just this little restaurant in the countryside. It was, oh my gosh.
Fresh.
Yes.
Everything was so flavorful without this preservatives and bullshit that you had put in it. It was so good.
Yeah.
Yes, quality. One thing I do remember of it, when we were going, I think it was downtown Athens. Were there lemon trees or were they oranges?
Well, it was citrus, but I think it was mainly lemon. Yes.
Yes. All downtown. And they said they keep flies away. Mm-hmm. Is that what it is?
Yep.
Oh, I just thought that was so unique and smart and innovative, and whoever was in charge of their city planning just
it was cool. It was really neat to see that. And then from the countryside, we took about, I think it was almost a 2.5-2 hour drive along the coast.
Yes, the Amalfi Coast.
Not the Amalfi Coast, the Saronic Gulf. Ooh. And we were driving to the Temple of Poseidon.
Yes, and that was beautiful.
Oh my gosh. So just an hour of coastline of little beach huts and restaurants and neighborhoods in the side of the cliffs and people just like jumping off this, not the side of the road, but like parking and jumping into the water. It was, oh my gosh, beautiful. And then we got to the Temple of Poseidon and we had one of those like, bitch, we made it moments.
For real.
Yeah. It was like, amazing.
Look at us.
Look at where we're at.
Like, the things that you dreamed of and try envisioned through books or movies or magazines, you are now being able to see with your own two eyes. It's just groundbreaking, and it can change your world. It really just makes you thirst for more.
Yes.
I feel it makes you want to see more with my own two eyes, because what you thought through reading or somebody else's lens does not compare to when you experience it yourself.
Yeah. It was absolutely amazing. Absolutely. And like you said, it makes you want more. It makes you want to experience life outside of the box that you grew up in. And I was telling Neek earlier, that was kind of the moment where I fell in love with Greece. Mm-hmm. I was like, I have to get back here. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I don't think we had enough time in Athens.
No, I could have done a whole month in Athens. Yeah. It's stunning. And I have noted that your bag of tissues that you keep on you, she literally had a Ziploc baggie full of tissues, came in handy because, of course, we started crying as we were sitting there and just reminiscing.
Open up my Ziploc.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah. So we had a good time. So yeah, that is all of the road trips that we have been on. We would love to hear any that you guys have been on. If you want to leave us a comment on YouTube, is there any trips that we should plan around? I definitely want to drive through Montana during the fall. I need to see Big Sky Country as well as Wyoming. I mean,
I still want to see Mount Rushmore.
Oh, she's on a Mount Rushmore kick.
I'm going to go. I'm saying it.
Only I'll do it if we can go to the Badlands.
Whatever.
Okay. So, all right. Next up, this is what I've been most excited about. It's time for Hum Tastes Good.
Okay, let's
And guess what we have today, y'all? Dubai chocolate.
Yeah, yeah.
So, if you don't follow me on TikTok, I finally was able to find the Dubai chocolate. Sorry if this is loud. And I got two chocolate bars. I got one milk chocolate, one white chocolate. And I told Neek. I told Neek that she could pick which one she wanted to try on the podcast. She said that she wanted white chocolate, so that's what we're going to do right now. Now, okay, so when I tried the chocolate bar on my TikTok, I just bit into the back of it because that's where all the good stuff is. And, like, this part of the chocolate is a little thick. So do you just want to take a bite back here, or do you want me to try to snap it in half? Try to snap it in half?
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, I did it. That was not as hard as I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think if I hold this up, you're going to be able to see it, but that's okay. All right. I know what this tastes like. You don't. So I'm excited to see what you think. Ready, go. My God, it's so good. I think I like it better with the white chocolate.
Why is it crunchy?
The
kataifi. Is it pistachio?
No, so it's pistachio cream mixed with kataifi, which is a type of phyllo dough. She just took her another big old bite.
I love it.
It's good. Fire. The strawberries, though, that is where it's at. It's a lot, though. That's a big mouthful. I have more snacks, too, so it's good, isn't it? Here you go. I'll save it for later. Okay, we do have some more snacks.
It is nutty. I don't know why you said it doesn't taste nutty.
I don't feel like it is. I don't know. I guess because when I think of nutty, I think of salty.
That's like pistachio.
Yeah. But I'm used to my pistachios being salted. You know what I mean? Okay. Next up, we have some more stuff. Hold on. I got to get a sip of water. Okay. So, I'd never had these until a couple weeks ago. Hi Chews. I was not familiar with your game, Hi Chew. Especially because we love gummy candies. These are decadent. Now, I got I've never seen them. No, these are chewies.
Oh, well.
Mm-hmm. It's a fruit high chew. Okay. So one bag is a super fruit mix with dragon fruit, acai, and kiwi. And then the other bag is a getaway mix with mango chamoy, Mai Tai, and Uzu lime. You want to try the berry first? Do you care which one or just pick one? What flavor is that? No, they're all different. Oh, I got acai. Do I want to try acai or? Yeah, I want to try that. What flavor did you get?
Acai.
Oh, well, shit. Let me try something different. Hold on, y'all. Okay, I'll do the kiwi. Oh, I know the kiwi's fire. This is the first one I had. Switch.
I want kiwi.
Okay. That's okay. I had kiwi first when I first tried these, so I'll do the acai. You got it, honey? Ready?
I have had kiwi.
Mm-hmm. They're the same consistency as a Starburst. Same, probably better flavor, I think. Very chewy, though. You guys are going to have to give us a second. I'm trying to see if I have anything else to talk about. No. The rest is just eating. Which apparently people fucking love. That's the only time I can get any type of traction on TikTok is when I'm eating. I'm so serious.
All right, I'm ready.
You're ready? Okay. Are we going for the getaway bag? I haven't even finished this. I want to try the mango chamoy, I think. That's the Uzu lime. Oh, this is a Mai Tai. I think I might not like the chamoy because I think chamoy is salty. But I'm going to do it. I still haven't finished this. You go ahead.
I'm trying to get it open now.
If y'all have any suggestions for candy that we should try, or food, or snacks.
Why am I having a hard time?
Why don't you just rip it at the top, honey?
I can't.
All right, you got the Uzu lime. I'm going to do a bite. I shouldn't have put the whole thing in my mouth.
That's too late.
That's what she said.
I like this.
I don't like this.
What did you get?
Mango chamoy.
Uzu lime is good.
Oh, it just takes a lot of effort to chew. Okay. Next up, we have peelers. We have another flavor of peelers. Green apple. Here we go. Ooh, that mango chamoy is kind of spicy. I put one in her hand and she looked at me like I was crazy. Okay, here we go. This definitely has more juice than the other ones.
This isn't an actual peeler, though.
Yeah, it is.
I bit straight through it.
Well, yeah, because we never peel it.
Casing or nothing.
We never peel it. Here we go.
The other one, it was obvious that you had to peel.
Right. This one doesn't have the right. You can't really tell the difference in the color. Yeah. That's good though.
Yeah.
Peelers, green apple. Do you want to save that one for the next episode?
If you want to, I don't like pumpkin anyway.
We'll do it on the next episode. Mm-mm. We have one more snack.
What's that?
That, the pumpkin.
Ooh, more.
Okay, guys. We have one more segment left. And it is our Talking to the Moon. And I figured since we started the episode talking about the moon, I would close it talking to the moon. And this is a poem that I came across on TikTok, because you know, once you save one poem, that your whole For You page
turns into poems.
But I came across one that I really liked and I feel like fits the theme of this little segment that we do. And you know, typically we do our inspirational quotes or a little one-off, but this is a full poem, so stick with me. I'm gonna try to get this out as eloquently as I can. Here we go. I'm gonna take my time too, because it's a little long, but it's good. Here we go. Oh, also, I should probably tell you it's by. It's the username is writing, like writing, dot Bimmett, B-I-M-M-E-T-T. Okay, here we go. I climbed the clouds and asked the moon about you. I told her how kind, how expressive, and how sweet you are. I told her, while you think for yourself, the other people in your life are of utmost importance. She felt such a way towards you that she appeared during the day to get a glimpse. Much like me, the moon can't see too well at night, but during the sunset with you, she saw us sitting on a blanket and knew exactly what I meant. Tears welled in your eyes because of a lady taking pictures, and the moon knew exactly what I meant. She started sending hearts in places you wouldn't find them. Treetops, puddles, clouds, and smudges on the window. She started waxing just to show herself to you and started sinking closer to the horizon to make sure that she had the best view as you went by. She reported back to me last night that you fell asleep and she talked to me. We spent hours talking about you. My eyes started to drift and my mind began to wander, and she echoed the sentiments that I told her initially. The moon spoke to me. She spoke to me about how your intellect, your emotions, your attitude, and your approach to the world are all magnificent. And she felt the same. I said goodnight to the moon and she wished me luck. She said she'd keep an eye on you, and if you look closely, you might see her glancing down at you, knowing that she uses my eyes to see you. And that's it. Woo! I got through it. All right.
Good night, moon.
Good night, moon. Thank you guys for watching. We will see you next week. Bye.